whoa. No, man, I'm seriously asking. What is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Our spots, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Miss the live show, rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast. Never outclassed, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Bringing the schmears. Rock for rookies, represent. Let's get the show started, man.
It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast.
Welcome to episode 2 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny alongside this beautiful man named Mike. I am Johnny.
Oh, right in my face. That didn't even...
It's the beauty!
That didn't even pass go. Didn't collect $200. Straight in my face.
I was watching an interview last night, Jack Black, super young, on Conan. And he's talking about the time that he tried to get into Puff Daddy's after party at the Grammys. And how P. Diddy had a thing where he would over-invite celebrities, so a bunch of celebrities would show up and even the celebrities couldn't get in. And Jack Black was like talking about how the police showed up and they were already on horseback, and he was so focused on the fact that every time the horses moved, they were making sparks with their horseshoes or whatever, and he was just so focused, and then a tail whipped him in the face from the horse. He's like, worst after party ever.
So he didn't get into the party.
He did not, and he was the host that year of the Grammys. Of the Grammys.
So how young was he? So
he was right after, it was right after not the record store one, not High Fidelity. It was right after that. It was one of his first. He had just done...
It's crazy because I think that we...
He had just done a solo movie that was very popular, and Tenacious D were playing in New York.
Sometimes we forget how long certain famous people have been, like, around for. Like, Jack Black's been around for, like, 25 years.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I was watching an episode of Northern Exposure that he was on.
No kidding.
Yeah, he played a high school kid, and he was in love with Maggie, with the pilot, the main female character in the show.
Uh-huh.
And he was all like, hey... But he was so young.
He
wasn't chunky at all. He was kind of beefy, but he wasn't chunky yet.
Cause I've been watching some of his like videos from quarantine where he's like half naked running around his backyard.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy has all the confidence.
Well, if
he has all the confidence, considering that he was what you would classically call. Not the most...
He's not classically handsome the way most actors are.
All of his handsomeness is in his eyebrows.
He's like a good-looking guy, but he's got the charisma, he's got the energy, and he's got a thing that puts him above the rest, which is being funny.
Right.
And being funny means that you get ahead, even if you're not...
I don't know where the comment section is.
We don't know where the comment section is? Well, why don't you guys send us some comments?
Yeah, that
would
be...
Tell your friends if you're watching. We're, of course, happy to have you here with us. And then we'll see where the comment section has gone. Because every day it seems like some of this stuff changes. By the way, I updated my Spotify desktop today.
Yeah.
And as I refreshed it and I was... messing around with it, I realized it was going to take me a little bit to get used to it again, but that I liked a lot of the stuff that I was seeing that they had upgraded. One of the things that I really like is when you open up like an album. See, you have the new one also. When you look at an album now, you can see how many the play numbers of the individual songs.
Oh.
And which I love.
Before, it just used to have like lines.
I don't even remember. That's how long ago it was yesterday. And then, yeah, see, I like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then, and I like seeing, like,
how do the numbers matter to you, or are they just helpful? Because there used to be, like, a meter. Like, it would show you five lines, and if it had millions of views and you'd hold your mouse over it, it would tell you how many listens it had plus minus. Like, it would just have, like, a number with the, what's it called, the gray, the equal to or the bigger than sign, and it would just show you that. More than a million, less than a million. And it just had round numbers.
Oh, no. So they have, like, what I remember is there was a, you know, you would see, like, the 10 songs that are the most popular songs on
right, and then they had, that one had numbers.
That had the individual numbers, but now you can see, like, anything here. Like, look up like, a really popular album. Oh, that's a good one. That's not really popular, but it's our friends. So Michael's looking up our friends who are Walkways. Sometimes some of them listen to the show. So pick an album.
Album. Oh, you want an album view?
Pick one of their albums.
Okay, yes. This is this one.
Okay, and now you can see how many times each one of those individual tracks.
So they're high. Their number one track played at the moment with 365,000 is their song "To Spare," but that was also the first single released almost half a year before the album.
For Heaven's Sake is from the second album.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard them play that song every time I've seen them.
Because they put it, because they started, they started singing that song like a year and a half before the album came out. That was like the first
one. That's the sing-along one. For Heaven's Sake, it's all too...
That was the first song that they wrote after their first album. They just wrote it long before the new album. That's
so funny. So basically, what we're talking about is our one of our favorite Israeli rock/metal bands, Walkways. And they have this great song, and it's I thought I could have sworn it was on their first album, and then it turns out it's on the second album, but I've seen them perform, like, I don't know, 10, 15 times, and they almost always play that song, so it's kind of shocking that the song wasn't on their first album. Oh, Michael's going to Shredhead.
I'm sorry, I'm just curious, now that you've mentioned it, I've never...
Right. Much lower. That's sad.
Hold on.
So Michael's favorite song by this band Shredhead is...
Hold on.
Well, I know
what you're looking for. It is much less.
It's Death Row,
right? Yeah, okay, but there's no way that's the...
My relationship with Shredhead is a little bit different because I like... they're one of those bands that I like the idea of them more than I enjoy listening to the music. Not that there's anything wrong with the music. It's just a little bit too aggressive for what I like to listen to these days. Michael, I listened to a country album, and I really liked it today.
Was it... I don't know, what was it?
It was a recent album from... Basically, okay, so I went through, as we know... Did I talk about... We talked about it last episode, where I...
Johnny finished the 1001... I completed the
1001 album challenge, so I don't know what to listen to, so I started looking for more lists.
But by the way, just very quickly, we are pushing off getting into the news today.
I desperately don't want to get into it. We'll do it slowly, but the news is kind of depressing. But we'll get there. So I've been going through a list now. I went through a list of, like, what's it called? Pitchfork's best deep house albums of all time. It was very underwhelming. But right now I'm going through Rolling Stone's list of the top 100 albums of the 2010s. Now, a bunch of those, like almost half of those, I've already listened to as part of the list. So I just started at the end and I'm working my way through, and there is some amazing music in there. Anyway, so there's this band called The High Women. Like Highwaymen?
Yeah.
So Highway Women. Like High Women. Is it Highway Women or High Women? I have to look it up now.
Do you think that there's a country band just called High Women?
The High Women, yeah, that's what it's called.
The High Women, okay. Yeah,
The High Women. And it's, I guess, a supergroup of four female country and Americana singers, none of whom I had ever heard of before. Oh, Brandi Carlile I had heard of before.
Okay. And did she not sing a James Bond theme song?
I think you're thinking of Belinda Carlile and no.
That was really close, though. What did you just say the difference was?
Belinda Carlisle and? Versus Brandi Carlisle. It's not that different, but Belinda Carlisle...
That was really close.
Belinda Carlisle was in the Go-Go's?
I don't know.
I believe she was in the Go-Go's.
I don't know.
The Go-Go's are an 80s new wave girl band. They're pretty cool, actually. Especially their song...
You enjoyed a country album.
And it's... So they have, like, incredible, incredible harmonies, these four women. It's unbelievable. And it's also, like... a couple songs get a little too hillbilly for me, and then I'm not interested.
What is hillbilly to you? Like, it's where do you draw the line between southern rock and
okay,
country?
Okay, so first of all, when the twang in your voice gets a little bit too... Okay, no, but yes.
Yodeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
But does the accent bother you?
It just, I don't know what it is exactly, but there's a line, and I can sense when it's been crossed. Like, also, some country music, forget the, like, usual tropes of country music being, like,
I can't define it. You can define it, but, and you know what it is when you hear it.
It's like, it's like that. So you, shit, what was I saying?
I don't know. Very hillbilly.
No, so I don't like it. No, so when it's like Americana and it's just like down home, middle America, feel good, heartland style music, I'm in. Twangy guitars, I like the sound of twangy guitars. I just don't like when it's like some hillbilly going and then my truck broke down and my wife left me.
That's not hillbilly. You're using that word wrong.
And I don't like, well...
It's more redneck than hillbilly.
Rednecks are hillbillies.
No,
it's just
not.
That hillbillies are a specific...
Spoken like a northerner.
I think hillbillies are from a specific part of America,
that
right?
That is very true.
Hillbillies would be from the Ozarks of Arkansas,
yeah.
I believe,
yeah.
Right? Am
yeah.
I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they listen to this kind of music.
They listen to bluegrass.
Bluegrass is like what I associate with like Tennessee and Kentucky.
Tennessee and Kentucky play country music. Bluegrass is the... Like the Deliverance.
That's not bluegrass. That's just like a kid with developmental disability.
No,
playing
I'm
on
saying
a banjo.
The banjo that they're playing, dueling banjos, is bluegrass. It's not country music.
All right. Well, I don't like bluegrass music at all.
Like the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I don't like any of
that. That's bluegrass.
That's hillbilly
music. That's hillbilly music.
Right.
That's
so I just like, I think it's also the fact that I like the word hillbilly.
I've noticed.
That's a fun word to say. And also, like, country music can get a little bit too silly and fun sometimes. You know, like, we're just going to go sit out at the dock all summer and drink our
That's
whiskey.
That's not silly. It gets silly when you have Willie Nelson and What's-His-Face going, whiskey for my men
and beer for my horses. Yeah, so like that kind of stuff. By the way, as part of the list, I listened to two Willie Nelson albums. One was boring, and one, which was actually an album of covers, was great.
Yeah, that's where he covers that Dave Matthews Band song, Gravedigger.
No, it was... It definitely was... It might have... I'm not saying he didn't cover that song, but that album was like from 1970-something.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
It's pretty
so
clear
definitely
Dave Matthews
pre-Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
Pre-Dave Matthews.
So, yeah, and then today I like listened to an album by Grimes, and it was terrific also.
I don't know who Grimes is.
She's the one who had a baby with Elon Musk and named it an unintelligible thing. I listened to an artist called Scary Mommy. Have you ever heard of her?
I think I follow her blog post.
She's cool, and she makes nice music.
Oh, then probably not the same person.
And it's just like, and then as I was telling Michael before the show, like, I randomly messaged a record producer that I met once, like 10 years ago, just to be like, hey man, can you explain to me why music from 2000 to 2010 sucks, and why music from 2010 and on is awesome? And we got into, like, a whole conversation about it. We were talking about, like, how...
Did he agree with you?
Well, what he did agree with was the fact that music from the 2000s to 2010 was more... He felt is more thoughtful and takes more energy to try to unpack, while the music now makes, like, a big, easy-to-understand impact, but it doesn't last. I don't know that I necessarily agree with him, but I thought it was like a cool thing to point out. And I think that a lot of it also comes down to the fact that, and like, I guess I unabashedly have to admit this, but I don't like music that sounds too raw. I like music that sounds perfectly polished and produced and shiny, and the music pre-2010... Not that it was, but it was like garage music. Like
that was one specific.
And all of the indie rock and music
that's
was going
the same
on at the
music.
Same time.
That's the same music.
It's not the same music.
The indie
highs,
rock
I
music
did,
and the bands, the indie stuff is directly connected to the
over
bands.
Over here, okay, maybe they drink at the same bar, okay? But they are not dating the same women. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good metaphor. I mean, I would have been like, they're not taking home the same women okay. from the bar.
Yeah, from the bar. They're not taking home, exactly, much better, excellent. So, yeah, like the Hives and the Vines and the Strokes and all those the bands, as you were saying, and the yeah, dude, the yeah, yeah, they yes, suck. They suck. They suck. Okay? The Thrills are okay.
I don't know the Thrills.
Oh, okay. The Killers, maybe? They I don't suck know. Too. They're all this. Oh I don't know. God. I liked one of them.
Either way.
Anyway, so let's get into the really depressing stories. All right? So, you know how they do the. You know the thing
I
they go.
I haven't been following the news.
You know how they do this thing where they go say her name or his name, like if when somebody, it happens a lot
like
in Black Lives Matter stories when they go say his name, say the name George Floyd, say the name, insert name here, right? So I want to do one of my own, okay? Say her name,
okay?
To get my small following here to get some. Attention to this story. Okay, say her name, Jazlyn Adams. Have any of you guys ever heard, in the wake, obviously, of the Derek Chauvin trial ending? He's the cop that was on
George Floyd's
next, right? So he
okay.
was, his trial ended this week.
I feel like I'm okay not knowing that dude's name.
And then
because aren't you not supposed to say the name of like the bombers and stuff like that at the Boston
I don't like
thing?
To, but we're just going through it, right? So there's the judgment in his case, and then there were like a bunch, like you know, obviously it's gonna get the press anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There was the shooting in Columbus yesterday, and then like another person, and it's just like the same kind of stories that we've been hearing a lot. But the one that we didn't hear a lot about is Jazlyn Adams.
Okay.
Okay.
Why is Jazlyn Adams so important?
Jazlyn Adams was a 7-year-old who was sitting with her father at a McDonald's drive-thru and was gunned down in a hail of bullets in what they think was Chicago. It happened in Chicago. By the way, there's also been like 160 homicides already in Chicago this year. And she... It was probably gang-related violence. And a 7-year-old girl was shot to death. And you didn't really hear about it. It didn't really make the mainstream news. It didn't really have an impact on something like that, right? Like, I'm the father of a 9.5, of an almost 10-year-old. Michael's the father of a almost 13-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old, okay? So when I hear that this child was gunned down, it like devastates me, okay? And then I look at the news and I'm not seeing people posting about it. I'm not seeing people talking about it. I had to search her name on Twitter, and I found some people talking about it. And a lot of people were African Americans talking about how, which is something that we've spoken about this show, how her death doesn't matter to the mainstream. Black Lives Matter
narrative,
because we're talking about a black-on-black crime, and they're not interested in black-on-black crime. They're only interested in when a white police officer kills one of them, right? Which comes to the situation in Columbus. Do you know about the story in Columbus?
You'll have to be more specific.
A 16-year-old girl was shot to death by police.
Yeah.
In a situation that... Now, look. I don't claim to know. I don't know why I even watched it. I usually don't. 99 out of 100 times I don't watch the videos because I just don't need to see that kind of stuff. But I did watch the video. And what it looks like is there's a fight happening. The cop comes. This girl is about to stab someone and he shoots her down.
Right.
Right. And you would think, well, that cop's a hero. He saved another person's life. But we live in a time where... That's not the way these... Now, I don't know if he could have done anything different. And I don't know anything about the way that the police department protocols work. Obviously, we've spoken at great length about how, while we don't necessarily want to defund the police, we definitely want to get them more training, and we definitely want to reform.
Did you see the video I posted on our WhatsApp group today called Shit Texans Don't Say?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's just like a bunch of montages of things Texans would never say, like One takes and walks up and goes, "Sorry, I'm late. I was charging my car." He goes, "That's okay. The soy burgers are almost ready." Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So one of them was a guy in a police car going, "Man, I hope they defund us." Which I thought was very funny.
Right. So we did a Defund the Police episode, and you can go back into our archives and check it out at rock4rookies.com. Or on Spotify, or wherever you buy
the name of that episode was Defund Tangent.
Defund Tangent, right. And what the conclusion that we came to is that obviously we need police, right? But the system needs to somehow change, right? And we talked about how... So I don't know anything other than what I saw in this video, which is a cop shoot a person who was going to stab another person. Which...
And did the... Was... The Black Lives Matter movement all over
they
that
particular
story. They
were protesting that night.
But not the day before of the...
Nobody was protesting for Jazlyn Adams. Nobody was out in the street for a 7-year-old child!
Okay, so let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. And it's not about the narrative.
Okay?
Okay, all right. Okay, so this evening I was talking with Ellie about some... woman
watermelon
in England.
Flavored
no,
drink.
That's
okay.
That never happened.
Okay.
About some woman in England who has gone missing, and apparently people were saying that she shouldn't have gone out alone because it's dangerous for women to go out alone. And then a bunch of people were talking about the fact that we live in a society where why do they say that the woman shouldn't go out alone instead of going, hey, men shouldn't be killing women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll tell you why. Okay, so the way that this works is protesting people who like to murder other people is a waste of time.
Wait, I'm sorry, I was sharing. We'll say the last sentence.
The reason that protesting, the reason why there's no movement with big protest signs and people coming together going, please stop murdering other people, people who murder people, is because people who murder people aren't sitting on their TV going, this what? Is bad? What? People who are murdering people are bad guys. People who are raping other people aren't raping other people because they haven't been educated. Like, it's not that they're going, oh, there's no movement telling me to stop raping people. Why should I stop? The people who rape other people are crazy, insane, evil people. They're evil. And protesting isn't going to help. When you sign up for the police, you are making yourself responsible, and you have... normal people who rape are by definition not normal people.
You have a
city. You know
what
I mean?
You have a city where there are hundreds of murders every year.
Exactly.
And people don't really seem to be doing much about it.
And do you think that if a bunch of people started protesting and holding candlelight vigils, then people in Chicago would start going, forget this feud, man. That guy lit a candle.
We've talked about how certain communities, if you are critical of the community...
Yeah. No one's written anything yet.
Okay. Like, I'm getting into sticky territory. I need to try to word this right.
How about just assume... that if the incorrect word is used, it is not out of malice, but out of ignorance. And now try to focus on the main message we're trying to say. Just say what you're trying to say, the point.
The community doesn't appreciate being told they're wrong, okay?
Which community are you talking
about? The African-American community
don't like being told.
Often turned on their own community members when they are critical of the community. We've seen it. Many, many, many times.
Meaning that if somebody were to come out and go, gang violence is bad, then other people would be like, hey, stop critiquing the rest of the people in our community?
It's not. I mean, in a way, yes, but not.
Stop saying gang violence is bad?
It's more like if somebody says...
Maybe we shouldn't protest African-American issues. Maybe we should just say gang violence is bad. But the gangs... don't care that we're protesting.
Right, which is why
they need to do chayrim.
Which is why a lot of like gun reform is kind of missing the mark, because all gun reform is really doing is making people who like just like kind of want to get a gun not able to. Like, gun reform will not stop criminals from criminally accessing firearms. It might stop. It
and
might...
making harsher rules against rape isn't going to stop people from raping other people, because rapists don't think. They don't think about consequences before they rape.
There's a joke.
They're rapists.
Norm MacDonald has a joke about Bill Cosby, right? Norm MacDonald says, one of my friends was saying to me the other day, you know what the worst part about Cosby is? The hypocrisy. And Norm's like, really? You think that's the worst thing? I'm pretty sure the raping is the worst thing, followed by the lying, followed by the scheming, and then maybe the... Right? Nobody ever went like, by golly, Steve is a rapist, but at least he's no hypocrite. Right? Like, nobody's saying that.
It's... Okay. Check this out. I don't know if you heard this story. Okay. So, do you hear what happened with Smotrich? I have a difficulty with this. Yesterday.
Oh, I missed that one. Okay. Is it something bad?
Kind of, if you're worried about narrative.
I don't know what I'm... All I know is that he's really...
So check this out. So, we don't like Smotrich because he goes against what we believe, that people should have freedom, etc., yada, yada. He hates the gays. We hate Smotrich, right?
It's not even that.
Wait a minute. Here's what he did today.
All right.
He, personally, with his own money, went to the Rabbanut and signed a $600,000 bank check thing to get a woman out of Aguna, to get her away from her husband. He paid the husband 600,000 shekels to free a woman from her divorce.
Okay, why her and not any
because
number
during
of
one,
other...
Because one, during the political, while he was running, while he was doing all the, for the... elections.
Okay, campaigning.
Thank you. While he was doing his campaigning, some woman stood up and she's like, what about us? We need help. And he's like, my God, I'm so sorry. I wish I could help you. I'm sending you my love and I hope this works out. And then a week later, which is now after the elections are over, 2 weeks later, he went to the Rabbanut and he signed the thing and he freed this woman, right? And now everyone's like, hey, he's such a hero. And I'm thinking to myself, like, every other person ever, there's no such thing as someone being all good or all bad. And the fact that he hates the gays doesn't stop him from doing something positive in another sense. And he just saved this poor woman. And he did a heroic thing.
Okay, but then what about all the other chained women? Go, he's a guy.
He did. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm just saying, why her? Like, listen.
Can
I'm
you
glad...
imagine that doctor I saved this young woman's life? What about everybody else?
I'm glad that he helped a person.
I'm just saying that it's one of those all good,
that's
all
important.
Bad.
But it's like, the optics of it very much sounds like it sounds very much like a PR ploy. It sounds very much like. Like,
he doesn't need it. He did so well for himself, didn't he?
Did he?
I mean, he's already in. You think he's now gonna use this and go, hey, guy, I know everybody hates me because I hate the gays, but I did this one good thing, so please let me in? I don't know. I don't know. Or also... There's no... Okay.
What?
You read it?
I did.
Okay. Want to respond?
One second, I need to read it again.
It's really small, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, that's true, by the way. That's true what Liara says, that protests about rape and murder are also about outrage against the lack of consequences for the actions, and not just that they happen in the first place. Yes, of course.
Absolutely.
And there should be a protest about this 7-year-old child who was gunned down.
For
and
the outrage.
Like, and the thing should be, I just can't understand it. I can't. Think about it for more than like a minute or two and not want to just start crying.
I have no problem about the outrage. And we as a people should come out. I mean, the idea of outrage is like saying if we don't show that we're outraged, then how are people going to know that we're upset about all these terrible things? And I remember when I was in the army or during the early 2000s, during the whole Intifada, and I remember people going... And there's terrorism and people are dying. Why aren't you more upset? But what do the Israelis do when everything gets really crazy? We make jokes about it.
Right.
Right? Because these are our daily lives. And there's something numbing about the fact that every single day, all across the planet, people are dying, people are getting raped, people are getting abused, and it's just more and more. And at some point, you're just like, listen, we get it. We hate all of the bad stuff.
The problem with that is
when
that
you choose one person to protest or one rape or one violent killing, then what you come down to is the same thing that you just asked me. Why that and not that? So on the one hand, Smutrich can only free one woman. 600,000 shekels is a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, you can't free everyone.
Did
and
it come
you
out
can't
of his personal account?
I do not know. Right. I read an article in Hebrew, so already it's already suspicious that I may not have all the details. But it's so hard to be upset.
And I'll tell you why.
The time.
I'll tell you why. Because, and we've spoken about this many, many times, since the invention of the radio, our brains have not evolved enough to process all of the information that we cram into it on a daily basis. The things that have been happening, the bad things and the stories, I got bad news for you. That stuff's been going on a lot longer than we've been hearing about it. It's just that with the 24-hour news cycle and the constant reporting, then we just hear about it much more than we ever would have heard about it in the past. Now, there's good and bad to that. On the one hand, it's great to be informed. On the other hand, it's taxing, and there's a reason why, like, an entire global generation is suffering from tremendous anxiety and depression.
Okay. Yes, agreed. But I would like to tell you something that's interesting about the knowledge, right? You say it's the 24-hour news cycle, etc. So this evening, Shalva asked if she could stay up and listen to Tangent Podcast.
And of course I said fine, but guess what? I'm not her parent, so nobody cares.
So I told her, I said, listen, I really appreciate and love the fact that you want to listen to what Johnny and I are doing. It means the world to me that you care, that you find it interesting, that you want to spend your time doing it. But I would like to maintain your youth and childlike innocence.
Sure.
Just a little bit longer.
Sure.
And she's like, why? I was like, well, Shalva, you are constantly talking about how growing up comes with more responsibilities. And the more, when you find out how terrible the world is, that's going to put even more responsibility on you. And she said, why? And I said, because if you know there's a problem, you have to fix it.
Right.
And that'll make you grow up faster. There's so much that, like, the minute you read you watch the 24-hour news, and it's just bad thing after bad thing after bad thing after bad thing, that affects you because you start to feel ashamed. And you start to feel guilty, right? You want to know why everyone is so freaking depressed? You just said the anxiety and all of that. It's because we as human beings, we can't deal with it. And then when someone starts saying, this is the thing that you have to care about, you know, and you're like, why this and not something else? Why the Black Lives Matter movement and not another movement ending all crime whatsoever? And then the people get upset. Why should I care about you more than me and him more than her? And then the fighting begins because now we're being told what we have to care about. And before we were just caring and there was too much to care about. So you're trapped in a cycle. It all kind of sucks.
I would like to see the mainstream movement show some love to a 7-year-old who was murdered in cold blood. Not that they knew she was in the car, but they were probably trying to kill her dad. Who they didn't kill. And by the way, like, you know, from what I know about the George Floyd situation, right, the police officer...
Can you sum up what happened in that one? I know that he was convicted of murder.
Of a few different, 3 different charges.
Okay. So he's going away to jail
for
a long
time? I think that the appeals process is going to be doing him a lot of favors because... Throughout the, or like a day before, a representative named Maxine Waters went on and made a statement about like if they don't get this right, like take to the streets, like and she was like outing jurors and like behaving in like a way that's like really detrimental. So the point where the judge was like, yo, don't do that. That's wrong. The Congress tried to censure her, but there's a majority in the Democrats' favor, so it didn't pass. And then the judge ended up saying to the police officer, like, she might have just written your appeal for you. Because, like, she's like, it's almost like she's tampering with the case. So I think there's going to be a long and protracted appeals process, and he might still end up getting off.
The only thing that I heard was, my dad told me something about the trial. He was watching the trial. And of course, we know my father watches the trial from the perspective of Fox News. That's where what he watches. And he was saying how they were coming, because he's, Fox News is showing more of like defense of the cop. You know, they're siding with, and he's like, they're doing it all wrong. Like, my father was upset that they were doing it all wrong, because he's like, no one's gonna, this is a terrible defense. My father was like, they're never gonna free him on this. And apparently their defense was, I don't know if you heard about this, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm asking you all. Their defense was that the reason that the guy couldn't take his knee off of George Floyd's neck was because as long as there were tons of people around the area, then they couldn't let the guy up off the ground, because that was police policy, that they had to keep the suspect. And I was like, couldn't they have tased him or put him in the car or sat, like, in a million different ways? But apparently that was their defense. That you're supposed to keep the knee on the neck. That's the best way to keep him down. And because everyone was screaming at them, they couldn't. The guy was, you have to keep the guy down. I don't know. It seemed retarded.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a great defense.
It seemed dumb.
What little I know about law.
Here's something fun. You were looking for something, some good news?
Okay.
Right? Sure. So this happened in the news today. Have you heard about Rape Day?
What?
Have you heard about Rape Day?
I thought you said good news.
I did.
Okay, no, I haven't heard about
it. Okay, so TikTok Rape Day is all over. In the last few hours, my daughter has received messages from her school saying that on the, what date is it? I'll tell you, I think it's next week on Sunday or something like that. There's supposed to be a rape day. Some people on TikTok were like, come on, everyone, rape some women and then post about your conquests on social media. And all these TikTokers came out and were like, oh my God, this is going to be a rape day. And everybody was talking about it. And my daughter has been receiving messages from the school about how she has to be careful on rape day. And my school was like, are we going to talk about the rape day? And then we got messages not to talk about it, because then by talking about it, we'll probably introduce it to a bunch of people that didn't know about rape day. But then I went to Google and I typed in TikTok. I didn't know how to spell TikTok.
Okay.
TikTok Rape Day. And the first thing that popped up was from yesterday night was a message from a website called The Hill.
Okay.
That I'm not super familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, Facebook and TikTok have both said that the rumors are false, and the video that everybody's talking about people saying rape is nowhere on the platform to be found anywhere.
So it's just a big giant rumor.
A big giant troll that everybody's getting into, and the schools are sending
What's funny,
leave the house on rape day.
Okay, it's not funny, but what's funny is what it reminds me of my high school prank a little bit. Because our high school prank was basically to threaten to prank the school, and then on the day of the prank, to do nothing and pretend like we weren't talking about it for weeks in advance. So the school flipped out. They were like, what are you hiding? What have you done? What's the prank? What's going on? And the whole narrative of our class was to pretend like we had no idea what they were talking about. We had put up signs, like, in 4 days it's coming. And the school was like, we will prosecute you. You won't graduate. You will be... And they were so uptight. Like, they knew we were going to do something terrible. So much so that when we did nothing, they couldn't believe it. And then by lunchtime that day, they all were like, I guess you guys didn't actually do anything. And that was our high school prank.
But you did. You took the bottom drawer and the top drawer and you switched
them. Well, the thing is that, yes, we did something. It was 4 years of bad behavior leading up to that. I mean, let's be honest. But there was...
I just thought you would consider that good news.
I mean...
No rape day. Good news.
I guess. All right, I've got a story for you. What time is it? 9:15. Okay, great. Okay, so these two, I need to make sure I remember the name of the product, and I'll probably get the story wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. So these two German fellows, are you with me?
Is this a joke or a real story?
A real-ass story. Okay. These two German fellows go on Shark Tank Germany. Okay? Do you know what Shark Tank is? Shark Tank is a show. It started in America. It's where three entrepreneurs are like the judges. Okay. You come in, you pitch your product, and maybe one of them is going to invest in it.
Okay.
And there's like stories of some of these products becoming like household items or whatever it is. So these two German guys go on the show. They've got a product. Okay? And their product is a special glove called a pinky glove. It's a plastic glove. It comes wrapped in a little box, and it's a glove for women to use to remove their feminine products when they're having their period. Okay? And one of the guys there is like, I will invest $30,000 in that. Okay. This makes the news, and the next day, of course, these guys getting canceled, basically. They're getting a lot of very funny and hilarious outrage against them. Okay?
Okay.
Do you understand why women would be
because
upset about
they're
it?
Men?
Not, I mean, that's a very small part of it. But I mean, the idea is that
their products are disgusting and they wouldn't want to touch them.
Right.
But
the
it's supposed to be natural and amazing, so why are you trying to...
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So women are like, first of all, we don't need this. We've been doing
we
fine.
Need all the other things that we've been asking
and
for
then,
for
and
years,
then,
years and years and years.
And then on top of it, it's like the amount of waste that the product would have created also is like mind-boggling. It's not just like, okay.
It's not like that, but that itself, easily solvable.
It's not just like, okay, look, a latex glove is bad enough. You take it out of the box, you use it, you throw it away.
Right.
One after another after another.
Right.
Each plastic glove comes in its own little case. Like they had to like dress it up and make it... It's like the most ridiculous...
Well, first of all, that's easily solved. It's one case and you replace the glove in it every single day. You don't need to throw out the case. Okay, I'm not saying it's a good idea. How would I know? I've never had to do anything like that. But I've also seen signs where people are like, check out this new water bottle that's made out of water. You know when it's like a bubble?
Yeah,
you see that
yeah.
You stick the straw in and you drink? There's a million different ways that you can make a biodegradable, healthy, safe glove.
Okay.
It's possible.
Okay, fine.
If that's your biggest issue.
But no. That's not the biggest issue. That's just like the cherry on top of the insanity sundae that the whole nature of the product was to begin with.
I mean... I don't know. Have you ever asked a woman before whether or not done using a woman's product or not? You better still wash your hands after the bathroom, right? But if you didn't have to touch it and you could just take off gloves, again, I'm asking a woman. Hello, Maya. Hello, all women, all two of you. My point is it a thing?
It's not a thing.
No, I'm asking.
I'm telling you, it's not a thing.
So, meaning you've had this conversation
yes.
already?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a thing.
Wait, hold on. How many women did you have a conversation with?
One.
That is not enough of an
It's a very small sample size.
It's a very small sample size. I feel like we spoke about sample sizes recently in another
Probably
conversation
last
we had.
Episode.
No, it wasn't an episode. You and I got into it, and I was like, two people. And you're like, two people is not enough.
Right.
Two people is not enough, Johnny.
Right. A teardrop is not a unit of measure. I was at a wedding a million years ago. And it's a wedding with some people with some pretty fancy taste in booze. And they had all kinds of interesting whiskeys at the Chassan's Tisch. Fine.
The Chamina.
The Chamina. What? The Chamina. So we're like sitting around and we're drinking. Anyway, so one guy brings out this this really fancy looking bottle of whiskey. And he's pouring for everybody. And he goes, and just so you know, everybody, if you want a teardrop of water will really unlock the flavor of this whiskey. And one of the other friends, just like, who's had enough of this guy's, like, pretentious ways.
Is this guy, it's his wedding?
No. Neither of the guys are the groom.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So none of the guys are the groom, and one guy's like, he's a little bit pretentious about his whiskey, as some whiskey drinkers are. And he's like, yeah, the teardrop, and the guy looks at him and he just screams. It was outdoor like a forest. He goes, a teardrop is not a unit of measure. And I just think about that a lot sometimes.
A teardrop is not a
unit. And that line like lives rent-free in my head, and sometimes I just think about it from time to time. Anyway. So it's just, like, the most ridiculous... Just, I think also, like, if you don't really share the experience of the thing, right? For example, having a period.
I bet you these... I mean, is it not possible that this guy was talking to his girlfriend, and his girlfriend was like, I hate touching this stuff, and he's like, that's a million... Okay, so now I really want to talk about my student's idea.
Wait, we can in a second.
Okay.
It's like, what is it that makes you think
maybe this guy can solve a
problem that women have? I mean, I hope he did, because if he didn't, then it's like even dumber. Like, look, you could have spoken to...
I bet you there are a lot of inventions that exist today that once they finally invented it, a bunch of people go, how in the hell did we not think about that for the last 25 years?
Let's say half of the people in the world... Are women, right?
Let's just say.
I don't know the exact breakdown.
Nobody cares. It's half.
Three and a half billion women on the planet, okay. Right? I bet you could find...
A million?
A million of them who are grossed out about that.
Their own...
Now, the thing that you can say is that the reason why they're grossed out is because they've grown up in a society that has told them that there is something wrong with their bodies when this happens... And that they should feel bad about it. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but also all of my own inner juices should not be spread around or touched. Like, what I don't want to stick a finger about? Into my mouth or into my nose.
What are you talking about?
If we're talking about you just said that you could say that society has told women that their inner workings are disgusting. Or you could just go... All inner workings are disgusting because some people don't like touching saliva or urine or blood or anything.
But that's not the way it works.
What do you mean it's not the way that works? If I knew, how upset would you be if these same people had come out and said, hey, tired of popping your pimples with your fingers? Here's a glove you can wear while you do it.
I'd be like, I would prefer not to have a glove. I'd like something reusable, please. Thank you.
Again, now you've just went off to the environment thing again. What if it was... What I'm saying is forget
but
the environment.
It's not a specifically male experience that I feel like somebody is trying to tell... You know what I'm saying?
You're right. 100% that those dudes are dudes and they're not women. Okay? But men are allowed to have thoughts about women. This guy had an idea and he's like, this is genius. He's not going to go... Hey, you're a woman, so you pitch it, even though it's my... Well, a person can't pitch an idea because of his sex? That's fucking sexist!
Nobody said he pitched it. He did.
And everyone's upset with him for doing it. That's sexist.
Nobody's upset that he did.
How dare you?
Upset at the...
You don't know that he didn't speak to a bunch of women. None of us know that. We're giving this dude shit for it. How do you know his wife didn't complain? How do we know? We have no clue.
Well...
All we're they upset
apologize.
About... It.
The point is that they apologized.
Of course they apologized. Everybody apologized, but it doesn't mean anything.
Look,
an apology means nothing if they're forced to do it.
What do you say about the story that I told you about what happened to me at work?
I think that you shouldn't have had to do it.
Okay, here's the story, ladies and gents. Basically, I was going into a meeting... I have to say this. I have to be very careful how I tell this story because I don't really want to talk about my company. I had gotten an email and it was telling me that one of the marketing teams inside the marketing department wanted to start working on a project. And what that person didn't know is that one of my closest coworkers and I had been working on this project now for 4 months and had already developed a whole process and a whole method and a whole way to do things, right? And we were making light of the situation in private times because it was kind of like funny to us that just like a bunch of people just kind of like woke up and were like asking us about what we do.
Okay.
Right? But I was a little bit concerned that going into the meeting, I was just going to start being, I might start not being dismissive. I just wanted to make sure that I got the meeting right. And the way that I felt the most comfortable to do that was to make sure that my coworker, the woman, was with me. And by the way, there were 10 people in that meeting. I was the only guy in the meeting, right? So, and I explained the story to somebody else, and I'll tell you what he said in a minute. And basically, I said, look, I'm going into this meeting. I'm going to have to tell these women that their idea, in a way, is wrong. And that while we appreciate it, here's how we've been doing things now for 4 months. And I didn't want to sound mansplainy. Okay? Now, I don't know how to explain what that is, what it sounds like, or how it affects the people around you. But I do know that people can pick up on it regardless of what your intent is.
If I explain to you what mansplaining is, technically it's mansplaining.
Well, you're a man explaining something.
But I'm a man explaining to you something about something that men do wrong that women don't like.
Well, so what I did in the end was I just kicked it over to my coworker. I said, look, I feel better if you led the response. And she did. And then I came in and gave my spiel, and it was amazing, and it was great, and it was terrific.
You shouldn't have had to do that.
I didn't have to.
Yeah, but you felt you I did, felt, so you
so,
did.
So that's a personal choice.
That means everything is a personal choice, but your personal choices are dictated by our society.
My
the same issue
was
you were
dictated by our society and my
saying that
level.
Men talking to a bunch of women and explaining stuff is mansplaining, and you were afraid to be misunderstood because of what society was doing. So great, now it's coming full circle, and it's all full of shit.
So
by the way, I'm glad it went really well for you.
Yes.
But I would have felt a lot better if you had chosen your female companion to speak in the beginning, because she would have done a better job than you.
Well, she would do as good a job as me.
Well, then why? Okay. Well, if that's the case, then the story doesn't work because you did it for a specific reason.
Yeah.
You didn't do it for the reason. I'm glad that she would have done as good of a job as you would have done.
But you didn't do it for that reason.
You did it because you were afraid.
I did it because, well, look, I'm always throwing her the ball in meetings. Because I value her opinion and I want to know what she has to say about
any
range of topics.
That's not what we're talking about.
In this specific situation,
you have spoken about this woman on many occasions, about how much you respect her and how hard she works, etc., etc. But in this particular case, you did something out of fear.
Yes.
And that's not right.
So fine. So you can say that. But it's not like whether it's right or wrong what I did. What's right
or
wrong is this was a situation that would make me feel that way.
Those are both. On the one hand, the situation shouldn't have made you feel that way. On the other hand, perhaps you should have not felt that way. You should have gone, this is wrong, and I'm going to stand up for myself.
Right. And what?
But we're not in a society where you're allowed to do that.
I was in a meeting today, and I told that story, and somebody told me that this is what he does. He just sort of...
Malia, I don't know who's you. I don't know. I don't know who you is. So you have to be specific with your, with the comments. It's hard to follow.
So yeah, we're a little bit on all over the place tonight. So he told me that what he does is
this friend of yours.
No, he's a member of our content team. Fine. What he does is, like, when he gets into meetings, he just, like, pre-does. He's like, hey, and listen, if throughout the course of the meeting, if you feel like I'm getting mansplaining at all, just let me know, and we'll fix it, and don't worry about it. I can handle it. I'm not that sensitive. But I am that sensitive. And so I gave myself a shield. Everybody I spoke to said I handled it great.
Did you handle it great? Yes. You handled it great because the outcome was the outcome that you wanted. But it shouldn't have had to be handled. You should have just been able to... When somebody goes up to you and goes, hey, you should start doing something this way, you should be able to go, I already do that. And they would have been, oh, I didn't know. I just assumed that you didn't know how to do your job. I apologize. They should have at the very beginning go, hey, here's something that I found. What do you think about that? Instead of, this is what we want you to do now, even though you've had a job for a certain
amount. Well, it wasn't like that. It was we've done a thing for you to do your content thing with.
But isn't that's your job,
but
though.
But the thing that they did was something that we did. We're okay, if they did something.
Doesn't that mean that there's also a communication problem?
And that's what we're fixing now, and we're working on that. And that's what we want everybody to be aligned to the same goals, obviously. But what she had done was something for a webinar.
That's not what I said, Jay. That's not what I said. I did not say that we can't bow to crazy ideology. I said that there's some problems, and that there probably are.
And
I did not say this.
And I don't see myself as bowing to crazy ideology. I see myself as being sensitive to an issue and trying to navigate it in the best way possible. Look, you know what I like? You know what I like more than... And you know what I... And by the way, you want to talk about bowing to crazy ideology? You know what I like even more than that? Being employed. You know what? And with missteps, you will lose your job.
I don't think that it's a crazy ideology. I think that there probably are lots and lots and lots and lots of men who mansplain. I feel like there are many people who look down at women and just assume that they're smarter than women. But since you're not that person, you shouldn't have to be careful.
I know that, but I also know that I can come off as a little overexcitable. I can come off as being a little bit sarcastic.
Everybody loves you for all of those reasons.
But I don't know these people yet. I don't know these women.
And now they don't know you.
Yeah, they do. No, not really. But I'll get there.
Okay. You are a special person. You have a lot of amazing skills. And from the story that I just heard, it just kind of felt a little bit that you didn't get to be you a little bit. And that bothers me. That bothers me.
Right. See, Malia's right. I do tend to come off as a little patronizing, even when I don't mean to. I just have that way about me. I understand that. And most people who know me, obviously they know what I'm all about, so that's fine. But I also felt like if I let myself get carried away in this meeting, I might get a little jokey, and I didn't want to just be like, hey, that thing that you did.
Like, couldn't you have approached the whole meeting just from the sense of, you'd be like, hey, we've called this meeting together because you asked us to do this thing, but we've been doing this thing for
That's
4 months,
exactly
and now
did.
There's a communication problem.
That's,
and then you would have just moved on, and they would have been like,
That's
oh,
exactly
great,
what
I'm
we
glad
did.
You're doing this thing
That's
already.
That's exactly what we did. I just let Hannah do the tip of the iceberg, and then when she kicked it to me, I was able to show them... It was amazing, actually. It was amazing. They're saying how, like, we want to generate more blog posts and stuff. We want to... Basically,
the story's turning into, like, more... You want it to be very vague. I'm just reminding you of that.
Yeah, you just want to take a piece of content and be able to make more content out of it. Okay?
I want to explain how... It's not about crazy ideologies or not crazy ideologies. It's not about one or the other. If people feel that they are being mansplained to, it's probably because that thing exists. And just because you don't do it or I don't do it or whatever it is that happens doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Well,
and you need to be sensitive about it. And mostly it just needs to be, hey, do I treat women like second-class citizens or not? I don't? How do I know I don't? Do I? And I know there's, like, rules, like, in movies, like, if it's a female character.
The Bechdel test?
But stuff like, there are people out there who explain these things, and it's okay to read about it and just question yourself for half a second. Do I treat women terribly? Do I treat minorities terribly? Yes, no.
That's not going to change how somebody might perceive you anyway.
Well, that's... The way somebody perceives you is on them. I've been dealing this with my entire life, where my parents have been telling me my entire life, Michael, people will perceive you as a weirdo person because of your hair, because of the metal t-shirts that you wear. They've been, my entire life, they've been concerned about how other people will see me. And the more concerned they are, obviously, the more wacky I'm going to get.
Which is so interesting.
But everyone else on the planet loves me for my differencenessness than everyone else, and yet my parents still don't get it.
That's so interesting, because my parents were exactly the opposite. They were like, my dad was basically like, fuck everybody, they don't matter, you be you, do your thing, and you'll be fine. And don't give a shit what anybody else says or thinks about you.
And you do.
And it's funny, because then what happened to me is that I totally do.
And my parents were like, you need to care about everyone. I'm like, I care about nobody except for who I care about, who I choose to care about. Those are the opinions that I want from people. What's that? There's a little room in the place to tell me.
But that's not important.
That, to me, is the joke of mansplaining. When somebody... Oh, when they think that they're so dumb that they don't even... Okay, I do love Airplane.
Okay, fine.
Can I the story that I was just telling you about... Yeah. No, I don't want to tell the kid's story. I wanted to talk... Oh, here's something that I think connects to what we were talking about. And this is a question that I have again, and of course, it's important to me to get your opinions on it. We were talking... last night I was with a friend that we have in common, and I was telling him about our WhatsApp music group that Johnny and I are in. It's an album group. We spoke about this last week, most likely. And he said, you know what the problem with your type of music that you guys listen to is that the six people in the group are all men. And so you're not getting
Eight people
in the group are all men. And so you're not getting a wide variety of music because you don't have a woman in the group. And I 100% disagreed because, I mean, originally when I created the group, I wanted it to be for my friends. Didn't work out that way.
Don't get off
the rails. No, meaning I don't know everybody in the group. That's, first of all, let's start with that. I don't know everybody.
You know 7 out of 8 people.
I know 7 out of 8 people in the group. But when someone goes, add a woman, that to me sounds sexist.
Right.
Women are equal to men. So, like, if you said, add a person who listens to other
kind
of...
Add a woman who has as much
passion... Why does it
passion...
have to be a woman?
Because she's going to have a cool perspective.
Why?
It's not just add a woman, Stom. You didn't let me finish. He's not... You're right. I'm agreeing with you. Just saying add a woman, to throw that out there, that's not helping anybody. Add a woman who's as passionate about music as you are. Then you're going to get an amazing... A different perspective.
Why does the fact that the person is a woman change her perspective on the music?
Because she's going to have a whole different way of interpreting everything.
But if you said, find more people who have a different varied taste in music than you, I would agree to it. And if I knew, at the moment, I don't know, most of our friends who are females don't talk about music the way that you and I specifically, and I'm talking about our close-knit group of friends.
Right.
When was the last time any of our female friends were like, well, actually, the discography of never...
They're not as passionate about it as you and I are, but none of our friends are. We just have a tendency to be able to bring people into our conversations.
Which is great, but I was always told, when I was growing up, in schools and in class, when they said, how do you bring the sexes together? How do you bring the different cultures and groups and different parts of society together? By remembering that skin color is skin deep. And that underneath it all, we are all the same. But right now, it feels like they're going, no, there are differences, and you have to recognize those differences, and we're all different! So we're different. Are we different or are we the same? I thought that we're all the same is what ends racism. I don't see women as different than myself. We all have needs, we all have passions, we all have hatreds, we all have... Everything is the same. You and I are not the same person because we're men.
No.
You and I hate different things and like different things, and you have your emotions and I have my emotions, and yet... So we're both men? That makes us the same, but... Who cares what inner...
Because so many of us, it's like the first few weeks of the
I don't
thing,
treat women was, like women, was... I treat them like people. That's the...
Okay.
That's the fairest...
I like that to end the show. We don't treat women as women, we treat them as people.
I don't treat men like men. I treat my friends like my friends. I have women friends who I talk to like my guy friends because that's their specific attitude. But I wouldn't go to another woman because they're... Every human is different, but people are the same.
You hear about, like, groups of guys where they're like, yeah, and then we have this game that we play where every once in a while we just, like, kick each other in the balls. And you're like, do you guys like each other? Like, that's just, like, a thing that you guys...
But that's not a guy thing. That's a idiot thing.
No, fine, but I'm just talking about, like, groups of friends. Like, who does that? Or I remember what you were saying very, very, very early on in our, relationship was like, don't ever be mean to me, right? And I think for the most part, over the last 15 years, I've been
good. Never, ever, ever have you purposefully been mean to me. And never, ever have we ever had that kind of relationship where we just tease each other and point
but
out...
But growing up, my friends in Cleveland in high school... Well, I guess high school's different than adulthood, right?
High school's
right?
different, yeah.
But, like, my friends were mean. And your friends, from what you described to me sometimes, were mean,
not
too.
Not all of them.
Not all of them either, right. But... That was that meanness. Anyway, on that bombshell, we're going to call it here on episode 2 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll do a little bit more research that time.
I want to answer this one question. Most women aren't into hard rock. Since this is van with you guys, you're heading down a right joint. Most women aren't into hard rock. I don't know that because I don't know most women to me. I don't. I have lots of female students who love hard rock in my school. So, I mean, most people aren't into hard rock. You know what I mean? Like, all rockers who are women say, stop calling us female rockers. We're just rockers. So, it's still that old style message. And Avram says, if things were equal, you'd be right. But are things equal right now? I don't know what that means. They are equal right now with me because I treat people equally. Do you understand? Like, if things in the world are not my problem, my problem is how do I represent... I don't represent men because I know a lot of men who are shitty. I don't represent a sex. I represent me. I represent my family. I represent my religion. Okay? And I treat women equally. If I'm making jokes with guys, I make those same jokes with women. If I'm upset about something and I have emotional issues and I want to talk to someone, I go to men as often as I go with women because I don't look at the length of their hair or what their bodies look like before I go to someone to have a conversation with them. They're people. Everyone are freaking people. And if we all just agreed they were people, we'd all come together and now it feels like we're separating. It feels like we're separating. Everyone has their own weirdness.
People are people. Quote.
Muppets.
Depeche Mode.
Oh, I thought it was from the Muppets.
No, Depeche
Mode. Muppets Take Manhattan. People is people.
Oh, no, but people
are
people.
Oh, with good
people.
Grammar. Yeah.
Yeah,
I approve this message.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on episode 2 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. We were so glad that you joined us. So glad, in fact, that we might be back in 2 weeks for another episode. Be with us then. Tell your friends to be with us. We love you all. Okay,
but we really appreciate it. It's really nice. Have a good week, everybody.